morning we are in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're talking about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes just mean good sayings, or like one author says, wonderful news. So Jesus gets up on a mountaintop, gathers people that are not very religious, and he says, sit down. I'm going to sermonize you for just a minute. You're not really religious people, but you've been gathering around me, so just have a seat. I'm going to preach. And he preaches this sermon to people that wouldn't feel welcome at the temple. They're often feeling like they haven't done enough. They're not the religious type. Raise your hand if you don't feel like the religious type. And Jesus says, okay, I've got some good news for you. And he starts out like this. I realized that I put all the Beatitudes on the plates, and I just realized I put them in the wrong order. So forgive me for not memorizing the order. But he says, the pure in heart, and you can imagine each one of these Beatitudes, these people that Jesus was preaching to, he had them in mind. And so we've set a table this morning representing each one of these people. And I would just encourage you, you may even see yourself here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's what we're talking about today. Blessed are those who work for peace, for they are the children of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger for justice or righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they get the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are humble, for they inherit the earth. Jesus, I just ask that each one of these seats would be filled today by people who get to receive from you these blessings, this wonderful news. When I think about the pure in heart, I think about the challenges that we often think of pure in heart. I often don't feel pure in heart. In fact, I surround myself with a whole bunch of accountability because I don't feel pure in heart. I've got an accountability partner that I'm in touch with almost every week, at least every month. I go to see a counselor every year to check in as far as my psychological heart. I've got a coach that helps me organize where I feel stuck in my heart. I go for inner healing prayer. If you've ever heard of something like that, where people just pray for you and just investigate what parts of your heart may just be stuck. I try to surround myself as much as possible, try to be as vulnerable as I can. But not everybody feels like they can do that. In fact, a lot of religious life says, oh no, don't tell anybody your stuff. Because if you do, they're going to throw you out the door. In fact, however you feel, and I have an orthodox view myself, but what we're seeing is a lot of LGBT kids that are getting thrown out on the street by their parents because there's just there's a place where there's an inability to know how to love kids at that level. No matter what the orthodox beliefs of the parents, they don't know how to love. So what does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean to create a space in the church where we could allow for everything to be disclosed and come under the mercy of God? I want that kind of place. I want, no matter what people's condition are, no matter what people feel about in their heart, that they feel like the church is that place. But there are three stories I want to read you today where people didn't feel like that. And they had to wait until there was their deathbed to begin confessing their sin. Kurt Koch writes a story about deliverance. He includes a book on deliverance, and here are these few stories. The first is about a woman on her deathbed. Before she died, she wanted to confess her sins. So a pastor visited her over a two-hour period, and she made an open confession of her sins. And afterward, she felt ready to die. The pastor visited later, expecting the woman to be in her final days. But instead, found her working in her yard with joy and peace all over her face. When she went looking for prayer, she was expecting to die. She wasn't looking for healing. She just wanted to confess. She just wanted to get her heart pure. But upon her confession, she found a forgiving touch of God that absolutely healed her. Another story of a woman whose cancer had metastasized and was all over her body, and she was suffering. And again, she wanted to confess her sins before she died. Can you imagine these lives? I wonder about what it's like to live a life where you don't feel like you can confess your sins. the suffering that can happen, and we are holistic people, body, soul, and spirit. I wonder how much is caused. Anxiety, ulcers, all those things, because we don't have safe places to confess. But get this story. The pastor was traveling in her country where she was, and because the pastor wasn't local, he asked for another pastor to come in and join him, and they heard her confession. The pastor left the country. Soon after, the man from the country, from her church, got in touch with the pastor who was traveling, and instead of dying, the woman was completely healed. Another story, and this touches home because I've got some family history here, of a warlock, a male witch or a magician came to the pastor and knelt in the church and confessed his sins openly before God. He was passionate in his confession, and in the prayer time, he encountered deliverance from the demons that were using his body to do the magic he was performing. The deliverance was dramatic, so dramatic that they focused all of their energy in praying for the guy upon what was being delivered, the demon that was being delivered from the guy's body. It was dramatic. Well, he confessed Jesus as Lord, and they didn't visit together until years later, until the warlock, the former warlock, showed up at the pastor's house. The pastor couldn't recognize him. His body at the time was rapidly deteriorating while he was performing magic. But beyond that, unbeknownst to the pastor, the man was also suffering from tuberculosis. And after his confession and conversion, not only had the demon left, but the tuberculosis completely came to a standstill. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Who is Jesus talking to? Who is he inviting to the table? Could you imagine the crowd that was hearing these words? Blessed are the pure in heart, for you will see God. These weren't religious people. They were not good at being pure in heart. There's another verse in the scriptures where Jesus, he's talking with the religious people who would think of themselves pure in heart. And he really gives it to them. This is Luke chapter 11, verse 37. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees, one of the religious people, invited him home for a meal. So he went, took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down without first performing the hand-washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. Then the Lord said to him, "You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of you is filthy, full of greed and wickedness. Fools, God didn't make the inside as well as the outside? Clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor. You'll be clean all over. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees? These are the ones that thought they were pure in heart. These are the ones that thought, well, I'm doing everything to look holy. What sorrow awaits you? For you love to sit in the seats of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk in the marketplaces. Yes, what sorrow awaits you, for you are like hidden graves in a field. People walk all over them and without even knowing the corruption that they're stepping on." Of course, then the religious leaders get offended. "How dare you talk to us like that? How dare you?" Well, he dared because he knew. And the culture of the day was, you better look right and look religious, because that's what God needs. My grandfather, I'm going to speak with the best Italian accent I can right now, because my grandfather was Italian. He said, "John, you know what sincere means?" I said, "No, nonno, I don't know what sincere means." "Sincere means without the wax. It's a candlestick holder without the wax. Sincere." I thought, okay, this is going to stick with me forever. And here we are 20 years later, and I'm thinking about this. I think that on a good day, candles don't break off of the candlestick holder you're using. I'm going to light a match and set this again. On a good day, we feel like we're doing okay. Like everything that we feel sinful about isn't getting us down. But you ever get one of those days where something sparks and you begin to yell at the people you love the most? You ever get one of those days? What about those days where all of a sudden you're in traffic this isn't going to stay, that's all right. And you start yelling at the person in traffic. Or you get the sense that you're feeling depressed a lot and you don't know why. Or you're spending money in a way that's just destroying your family and you don't know why. I wonder sometimes if we think we look like this, but in actuality, and that's what happens, in actuality we look something like this. This is after my children melted crayons all over. They wanted to build it to the top. We haven't just gotten to that yet. And I don't know if you can see here, but the wax has gotten to the point where it actually has become embedded in the plastic plate. We used a plastic plate. I guess that wasn't wise. And so pieces have broken off, and crayons, and there's all kinds of stuff. I think that sometimes we go through life, and instead of all of the wax becoming fuel for our lives, some of it drips to the side and becomes a mess. And instead of dealing with it, instead of confessing it to Jesus, we just kind of go on. And it hurts. And we deal with pain and suffering, and we keep on sinning more and more. And all Jesus wants, you think, and we start getting embarrassed because we know that something's wrong, right? We haven't talked to God in a while and haven't read the Bible. Well, all that religious stuff, we haven't done that very well. And so we know that there's probably something wrong. We probably don't see ourselves this way, but we know that there's something wrong. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What about that? You ever feel like it's been a while since you feel like God's been leading your life or you heard his voice? I think that some of that comes from this place of letting lots of stuff that we experience, hurts and woundings, misbehavior that we don't accept that we've done, we let it just kind of fall to the wayside, and it really does look like a mess, doesn't it? I was afraid to touch it this morning. But it's not a mess to Jesus. In fact, when he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, I don't imagine him saying, hey, you guys, Jesus has an Italian accent to me. If you're clean, good for you. Good for you if you're nice and clean. Oh, very nice. It's not even Italian. I'm offending 10 people this morning. I think he's saying, each one of you have lived a life that's complicated and human and sometimes dark and sometimes hard. But if you're willing to come to me, I'm going to see if I can do this. So I'm going to try one more time. You think I can do it? Yes. You have faith for me, church, that I can set a candle in a thing here without the alarms going off? The museum will never want us back. Without burning myself, too. I don't have much feeling there anyway. I think that if we get into a rhythm of being pure in heart before God, then we get the blessing of taking every bit of our old stuff. Here's a speck of something. Let's just call that when my sister yelled at me. Okay? And I haven't brought it before God. I haven't really held it against her either, but it's just been sitting on the wayside, and I haven't talked to her about it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we just bring it before the Lord. Say, God, would you just take this? Would you use it as fuel in my life instead of laying it and becoming a mess that weighs me down? I got to tell you how heavy this is. You wouldn't think, but this is massive. And it's these kind of things weigh us down over time. But I'm completely convinced, and you can see already, that whatever was there, Jesus is willing to take and say, I've got you. Not only can you bring it before me, you don't have to be embarrassed about it, but I'll use it as fuel in your life. Some of the biggest sins of my life, and believe me, there's a lot of me that resembles this plate here. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I look like this. Although I try to bring everything before God as much as I can. Addiction has really, over time, had a chance to completely ruin my life. One of the reasons why I get accountability so often is because I need it. If I'm not openly disclosing my inner thoughts to a close friend, it falls by the wayside. Either I start to believe that it's not a big deal, or I just kind of forget about it and I get numb to its effects on my life. Friends, I think that one of the biggest cries of the human heart is being addressed by Jesus when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And the cry of the human heart is to find a safe place where it can just be who we are, where we are, when we are, and have faith that Jesus has the power, the ability, the strength, the openness to receive us no matter what is going on. It's hard because this world would tell us, don't be vulnerable, somebody will take advantage of you. And maybe. But pure in heart, I think Jesus is saying, would you just come? Because it's when all that stuff gets burned away, and I don't know about you, but this is how it is for me. If I look like this, my days are more distracted. All those times I want to go to worship before God, I have a harder time doing it. Every time I read the scriptures, it just kind of feels less powerful, less effective. But when all of that comes before God, I'm not going to lift this up. It's going to fall over, but it's lighter, and we're more able to hear his voice, to be guided by him. The scripture describes this place that we're often in because sin is in the world. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Paul is writing to this church. He says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely." We get to know more of God's will. We get to see more of his movement. We get to see him himself when we become the pure in heart, when we start bringing all of our stuff before God and saying, "Hey, this is what's going on. Would you use it in my life? This is what I've been holding on to. This is where I know I've gone wrong. Would you forgive me?" Each lady this morning that was baptized or recommitted their life has gone through this process of saying, "I surrender. I want my heart in a place where I can hear your voice, where I can be ready for your work, not only in my life, but in the world." Now, what's fun is that as we continue to practice this pure in heartness, I think our lives can become more like this. Because instead of holding on to stuff, there becomes a rhythm of taking it before God, submitting it to him, and allowing him to use it. So now, instead of suffering with addictions to pornography, I get to share my testimony of freedom. I get to bring men aside with me and say, "Hey, this was my story, but you can have freedom." It gets to be used as a light. And I get to rest in the fact that anytime I need to, I can come before God openly, vulnerably, where I'll be accepted by Jesus. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a tax collector, the worst of all sinners. And he wasn't quite ready to come. He wasn't quite ready to come before Jesus himself. And instead, Jesus came to him. And he said, "Zacchaeus, You've been hiding in a tree, chasing me down, but you haven't come close. Would you come over here? I want to have dinner at your house. The other reason why I've set up these chairs is because you may not see yourself here, but I know some of you see your brothers and sisters here, your parents here, your neighbors here, and it's been hard for you to see a place for them in faith. What would it look like if whatever you came to Jesus about, you just disclosed to your friend or neighbor and said, hey, I just want to let you know, this is what God did in my life. He created a safe place for me, not to prove that I'm perfect, but to use everything of my mess in order to be fuel in the world. I met a woman when I lived in Houston who was trafficked as a child. And she went through life and was finally rescued and then joined an organization that freed other people from human trafficking. Someone came to her, rescued her, and now her story becomes light to the world. I think that's the heart of Jesus. What would it look like if we became open before God, our hearts became pure, and then we shared it with the rest of the world? I think it takes a change, especially in our society, where we are so works-driven, so wanting to prove ourselves in a way, wanting to say, I can do it. I'm awesome. Who wants to be awesome in front of your neighbors? I'm so bad at mowing my lawn, my neighbor just started mowing it for me. That's how not awesome I am. And yet, I just come before him and I say, thank you. And then he started mowing crosses in my lawn because he wanted to do like religious art as I shared my faith. It takes a kind of surrender that we're not used to. The other place I was researching, where else, because candles came to mind, I don't know why, but here we are. The other place in religious history over the last 1,400 years, the candles are used like this, is when Jews start the Sabbath. And they light a candle to begin a time of rest where God takes care of everything. And as I thought about these candles this morning, and I thought about a time of ministry for us, I thought about some of you that just need to surrender, that have been trying to work up a way to carry all this stuff, to hide how messy your life is. And I think the call this morning for ministry is for you who feel that way to come and enjoy rest before Jesus. When he says the pure in heart will see God, he's not saying come and beat yourself up. He's saying come and see me and I'll take care of everything. In Revelation, it celebrates that time of when Jesus will completely engage this encounter perfectly for us. Revelation 22:3 says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there. His servants will worship him, and they will see his face. And his name will be written on their foreheads. Pure in heart is this encounter where the living God, we encounter the living God, and when we do, we see ourselves as we were meant to see ourselves, as we really are, as his children, as the ones who he rescues, not as the one that we have to work ourselves up to get to. No, he's our rescuer, he's our father, he's our Lord. We come to him as children, we say, Jesus, here I am. You already knew, but I'm willing to show you now. I wonder who of you is ready to just surrender this morning, to allow all of those sins, all of this stuff to be confessed so you can be free, so you get to see God again, so his name will be written on your forehead again, so that the curses upon your life would be broken. Some of you even have physical illnesses that, like the stories we heard of confession, would be completely healed. I think that's one call, but I think there's another call this morning. There's another verse. Mark 4:21. Then Jesus asked him, "Why would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed?" There are some testimonies in this room already. Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. And we've already seen testimonies of that this morning. For everything that's hidden will eventually be brought into the open anyway. Every secret will be brought to light. If you've got ears to hear today that God's changed your life and you've got fuel that's burning because of what Jesus has made in you, that you've become pure in heart before him, let me tell you, it's time to shine. It's time to not try to cover it, not try to hide it. What God has done in you is worth multiplying, it's worth sharing, it's worth giving away. And let me tell you, most of the world is not going to come to a church to find that. Most of the world is living like this without a way out. They don't know what to do. And it takes one of us to go, "Hey, I just want to let you know, Jesus made fuel out of my suffering. He's making glory in my life because I gave everything to him." Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask for some boldness this morning. Those of you who know that you have come before God, your heart's become pure, and you've got something to give away, would you raise your hand this morning? And you want to be dedicated to this work, would you just come forward? Just come up. You want your light to shine. It's been covered, but you want your light to shine. Would you see these guys? Would you look at these guys? Aren't you proud of them? Because they're saying everything that you want to say, but you're not saying it. These guys have stories. I'm going to ask you guys to surround this table this morning. There are those of you who want to become pure in heart this morning. There's stuff you've been hiding. There's stuff you've been holding on to, and it's been weighing you down. This morning, you're not going to confess it. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get to sit at this table, and you're going to receive the story of life change from one of these people this morning. This isn't the morning where you have to disclose anything. This is the morning where you get ministered to by somebody who's got a light to shine. And at that moment, you can have a choice to do anything. If you are ready to disclose to Jesus, you're not going to do it this morning. You can do it in privacy. We're going to create a safe place for this. But if you want to become pure in heart, would you come and sit at this table this morning? Would you be bold this morning? If you've been hanging on to stuff, you know it's been weighing you down. Anyone. Like Speedy from Warner Brothers. I'm going to allow these guys to wait this morning as we worship. We're going to worship two more songs. Worship team, would you come? And there are some bold people that are starting to this table. This isn't the time for confession. This is the time to hear from somebody else their story for your life.